Hello, everybody, and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook, and this is episode 441. And we are here to talk about some video games. But as I always say, and it makes a lot more sense when you're watching, because obviously if you're listening, you know I'm not alone, but I'm the only one on camera as I'm saying this, I can tell you that I'm not alone and say that also here with me is Mr. Sir Christopher of Hydefordshire. Hello, Chris.
I'm back to a sir this week. I got relegated last week, didn't I, to some scum pauper. But I've had a shave, so that means I'm back to sir status, yeah?
Sure. I mean, the Prince of Ireland is joining us. Oh, Adam Carroll. Hello, mate.
I like that.
Oh, the Prince of Ireland. I don't think many people would agree with that, but I'm going to run with it.
Why would they not agree with that? Why would that not be a thing?
I don't know. Oh. Prince of Ireland?
Well, you can be the prince of whatever you want to be.
Thank you.
Except you can't be prince because there was a prince and he was a genius and then there'd be another prince.
5 years yesterday.
Was it really?
Was it? Wow.
That was genuinely not planned, but I'll take it. Well, I mean, there's no
this
real
shape. Twice no... Prince has come up in this podcast.
Almost every week.
Prince comes off. We're big fans. Yeah.
There's no real segue into video games from there. So how are you? You all right? Is everyone good?
Everyone's good. Well, I'm speaking for all of you.
Please do.
Yeah. Everyone's great.
I don't know if I'm good. Yeah.
I'm sort of trying to get over this clean-shaven Christopher Hyde.
I know it's really bad because like my double chin. I mean,
that's not what I meant.
It's not like you didn't know that I had one before, but now it's like, oh my god, it's like proper low hang there. That's bad. Just sit like this for the entire podcast. Sorry if you're not on video, you should be watching on video because you're missing out on some beauty here. But
what's stopping you from growing the beards? Why don't you grow a beard?
Why don't you just go for it? I'm blonde. It's just fucking rude.
I'm not clean shaven now.
No, you're not. You're not. I mean, I'll switch to you there. People can see you're not. But then there's Adam. Like, you can see he's clearly not. And I have got a beard. It's just not as sufficient as Adam's. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you have more hair like on the bottom of your head than the top. We've had this conversation before. Well, yeah, you as well.
Jesus Christ.
I was talking about Adam. I certainly wasn't prepared for that level of aggro three minutes in.
Jesus.
I honestly was talking to Adam Carroll.
My old mannered Christopher Hyde.
Just in with a dagger. Get away. Yeah,
I mean,
sorry.
You wouldn't be wrong. I was just a little bit like, bloody hell. I mean,
straight in with the digs.
To be honest with you, I mean, while we're on beard talk, mine started out of laziness. You're dark haired. As a blonde lad, this sort of stuff happens quite late. Like, I could not have grown a beard. And then one time I was like, I really want to see if I can. And I just didn't shave at all. And I was like, I can. And then I was like, well, now I've got it. It would be rude to get rid of it. And it's just stayed. And now I saw a picture of me the other day without one. I was like, oh, I looked a lot better. And I was like, yeah, but you also looked a lot thinner. So, Chris, from what you're saying there, it's like, yeah, maybe we'll keep this until we get rid of this or these. And then we can, like, you know,
that's
maybe we can consider.
That step never happens. So that's why the beard
doesn't. And that's why it's still there. Yeah. I still can't find a segue. Near Replicant, the review went up on the site today as we are recording, going live. And we've had access to this for quite some time, myself and Chris White. Adam, you've got it as well now. You've played through it. In fact, I haven't finished it yet. Chris gave it an 8 out of 10. I was incredibly excited to play this because I loved Automata so much. Mm-hmm. The weird thing is I feel like everyone I spoke to who played it loved Near Automata, right? And certainly on this podcast. And yet, it feels like zero hype around this game. And I don't know if that's because it's not a remake or a re-release. It's like because the really long number that's there is like the square root of 1.5 or something like that. The square number. So it's like that's what they're saying in the game is Near Replicant 1.5.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, so it's not like a remake. It's kind of a remake and a half. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to start with this game. We're going to avoid spoiling, I think, as much as we can because there's so much weirdness in this game. Like, I won't say any more than, like, Adam Carroll will know what I mean. If I say to you, like, the forest with dreams, like, that bit was just like, what? I was almost falling away from the game and then they throw something at you that is so different. The mansion itself, I swear, is from another game.
Yeah, I know.
Where do you want to start with this game?
Well, let's just... Okay, this game... I think, right, straight off the bat, I'm going to say that I have finished this game, but, like, I am now going through a second playthrough, okay? So I really think I haven't seen... I have not seen the full story, right? Your first playthrough, if you've ever played, like, Automata, it's... You know how it works. There's multiple kind of playthroughs and endings and stuff like that. Replicant is offering the same thing. And I only started today, my second playthrough, and immediately starting it, there was all these story threads that were coming at me. And I was like, oh my God, that answers that, that answers that. And that's where, like, I really start to love Nier. There's a lot of qualities to this, to the series. There's the combat, which is just fantastic. We'll get into that in a second. It's just batshit insane in its storytelling. And then I think personally, the atmosphere and overall tone of these games are unlike anything else, personally. I think when you jump into, if you jump into Replicant and it's your first Nier game, I don't know like what you're going to think, what anyone's going to think. Because when I played Automata, I was kind of going, what's going on? Like, you know, like I'm having a great time, but what's the story with the visuals and the kind of like openness of it with nothing really going on? And like all these things are in this as well. And I was more prepared for it. Now, let's get into the overall world, okay?
Okay.
Let's start there. I think this world is obviously bizarre, and I think it really tests your patience. I think like getting around the world from point A to B and going back and forth all the time is really, really just like, you're actually making me do this.
I think that is both a stylistic choice and also a mistake. I don't think... So, I mean, look, I'm not going to jump ahead too much, but just to say, and I think you probably do too, I prefer Automata. Like, that is a brand new game where they could kind of take the feedback from this original prequel, I guess, and iterate upon it. And Automata's still got all that kind of travel. But I think it is a tighter game overall. Like, I think where... Automata, I just like, as soon as I finished it, let's go again. Finished it again, let's go again. I just went, oh my God, hang on, you can get an ending right away. Okay, cool. Whereas with Replicant, the traversal, well, that sounds like climbing, but you know, the travel between areas.
Yeah.
And combined with the repetition, like you said, it tests you to the point where, like I said, we've had this a while. I put the game down after... a certain section revolving around sort of a deserty area, I put the game down, and I only came back to it after reading like Chris's review when he turned it and was like, oh, it picks up. And he even says stuff like that in the review, like there's a very, very distinct halfway point where the game picks up. But it doesn't change that much, it just picks up. And yeah, it's difficult, right? Because if you were going to suggest, oh, you want to play Nier, what one should you play first? You should say Replicant because it's a prequel. Yeah. But I think Automata is a far better game. But like the travel between worlds is, oh, sorry, worlds areas. It is an issue, don't you think?
Yes and no, because my.
Sorry for those wondering, was Chris's phone just vibrating on his microphone, I think.
It really wasn't. It would have been my daughter dragging a chair.
Oh, really?
She'd have to do everything. So she'll be moving that chair now to help, but she can't lift.
No, that's
so
fine.
She drags. So sorry. Yeah, I tried to go on mute, but I was too slow. Sorry.
You just looked really like, oh God. My phone,
sorry,
that like the moment in the IT crowd where he sets his phone to vibrate like super loud. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Adam, where are you?
I think the traversal, right, is I totally understand if someone says, oh, Christ, back here and all that again. But I think the overall speed that the character goes, I really enjoy it. I enjoy the kind of, it's so fluid and tight, like scaling around the place that I find kind of enjoyment out of it. It's not like really fully acceptable for the amount of times you have to go back and forth to places. But look, that's what this kind of series is.
Yeah.
It's doing weird things. It's pointing out the obvious issues itself within the game.
Yeah.
And those are moments that you end up kind of going, oh, even the game is noticing it. And you kind of go, oh, that's kind of funny and genius at the same time, I guess, you know, when it starts criticizing its own way.
Yeah.
I think the characters here in this game are excellent. I think they're all really, really good. I think, like I said it to you already, but we have this year now two books in games. We have, if you take It Takes Two, and now we have Grimoire Vice from Nier, like both very humorous. Now, I know Grimoire would be kind of like not everyone's cup of tea. It's voiced by Liam O'Brien, who, just look him up, he's done oceans of stuff. But like, he's a cocky guy. He's like the character.
Yeah, he's supposed to be arrogant, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really absolutely arrogant. But that works so well then with the other character, Kanye, who is like just...
it's not Kanye, just to be clear. you just made it sound like Kanye West.
That's
what
we call it.
It's close enough.
It's something like that, but like her whole banter is fantastic to the book.
Yeah,
like she's so vulgar all the time.
Oh,
she's constantly telling him to fuck off.
Yeah.
She's constantly saying, shut up, book. Oh, it's just really, really enjoyable the whole way through.
Mm.
Combat is fantastic. It's really, really excellent. It's super tight. It's incredibly addictive. But then there's moments like within the combat, say, if you're all your weapons, your upgrade. So you get these kind of like selection of words. And these words are almost perks that you tie into your weapons. So you can pick two per weapon and they'll either give you like 6% of attack or they'll put on some sort of like paralyzed kind of effect and things into your weapons. There's a lot at your disposal, but I'll be honest, I didn't use a whole pile of them.
I started very quickly to just do the kind of equip best words thing very quickly.
Yeah, and I think you kind of end up doing that. Now, somebody might end up going, oh, but like you need to experiment with the combat.
Wasn't there something like that in Automata though? There was that kind of stuff in there. It wasn't words, but wasn't there something where you had like little buffs and things?
It's
been a while.
Yeah.
And I think there was an equip best thing or something similar to that where you could just say, okay, you choose. I'm sure there was that kind of stuff in Automata where I'm trying to think. Rings the bell anyway.
There's like you could end up getting like a two-handed weapon and it could be 350 damage, but you could be using like this two-handed spear that's 320 damage. But that spear is, to me, was so much faster in the combat situations. The two-handed swords are really heavy as you'd expect and stuff, and it just didn't work with my playstyle. But like, the game doesn't actually tell you really what to do in terms of its like gameplay. Like, there's tutorials that you unlock as you just play it, and you have to go into the options and read them and do all these kind of things. Like, I was pulling off these moves and I was like, how the hell did I just do that? Like, there's all these mad things you end up doing. But these are kind of the elements and the kind of things I enjoy about a Nier game. And it was playing this one that I totally just forgot how much I just really enjoy the series.
Yeah.
It does have its issues in its like areas, like some of it is dated, but like, Jesus, when did this game originally come out? Like,
it was like original Xbox, I think, like Xbox and
PS3, I think.
I can't remember. Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it makes sense.
But it's a while back anyway, and you can definitely see, like,
But I mean, Automata wasn't like the best looking game or have the most interesting design. Well, I mean, that's not fair. Aesthetically, I liked it, but I think we said something similar on Game of the Year. If someone said this game's not very good looking or I don't like the aesthetic, you could sort of go, I disagree, but I get you. I don't know, man. I think one of the problems is also one of the things I love about it is that it requires significant investment from you, because like you say, and they said this, I remember this actually with Automata when the review code came through, it was kind of like, this game is to be designed to be played more than once. Now, when someone says that to you normally, you kind of sort of go, yeah, of course it is, mate. They all are. But it is actually designed to be played multiple times, and not in a way of like, definitely. Oh, but new game plus, and you get to keep. No. It is designed, and, but that's asking a lot when a game's sort of 15 to 20 hours. It's asking a lot to go, yeah, play again and again and again. That is asking a lot. This hasn't got as many endings as Automata. I think it's five or four. I know they've added, I think, one new one, probably. I don't know. They've added something to it. I didn't play the original. But I love that. I kind of love that. That it's a weird game, and there's not enough weird games that are put out by huge publishers.
It's weird. What I like about it is it sounds very similar to Automata in the sense it's weird, but it's confident in doing it. Yes. It doesn't sort of go half-heartedly weird. Mm. It just goes, fuck it, this is how we're doing it.
Yeah.
And we're going in 100% here, and you either like it or you hate it, which is what we're doing.
You have to go with it. Like the bit I mentioned that I won't actually discuss directly, but the bit I mentioned, like the Dream Forest, is utterly... It's quintessential in terms of what the game, the series is, in terms of how weird it is. You have to go with it because...
It tests, that moment really tests your patience.
Do you think so? Like, see, I really like that bit, but I can understand it. I can understand what you're
like
saying.
You come back around to that again, you're like...
Again.
And you're just like, you're going through the whole thing. But it's really cool. Like, it's all clever. All of it pays off to me. Like, I think
you know how in Automata, when it first becomes like a shooter, like a bullet shooter, and you're like, wait, I thought this was Bayonetta, you know, Platinum Games. It's that kind of moment, but it's not nothing to do with shooting. It couldn't be more different. But it's that kind of I've played. I must have been about what 7-8 hours in. Ish, 6-7, and I kind of like, okay, I've played Nier Automata, I've now played enough of this to get, like, it does this thing when you go into a building, like, where it changes from a third person open world to it, sort of the camera pans to the side, so you know, looking at like almost a Castlevania style side view, and it always does that, and I really like that. That's, again, stylistically, I love it. But you've played 6 hours, you're like, oh, I've got the handle on this, and then you hit that area and you're like, nope, wasn't expecting that at all. That's something I wasn't expecting, and it's utterly cool.
Yeah, what I really like, though, is when you start Replicant, like, if you've come from like Automata, you start seeing the little kind of breadcrumbs that they're throwing at you of weird. Like, you can just see it progress more and more into weird territory in its storytelling, in its characters, in its dialogue, and it just gets wider and wider. Now, as you said there, you mentioned, like, the way the gameplay changes in Automata. From what I gathered in my first playthrough, nothing happens as wild as what...
I wouldn't think so.
Automata does, but I don't know whether that will change in playthrough 2 and 3 or whatever. There might be... Like, as I started today, there was something very strange happened in... my second playthrough that never happened in the first one. So it's kind of doing those little bits, but still, though, Automata was just like, what the hell is going on? I also have to just finally mention, it has an incredible soundtrack.
Yes.
Incredible. The music is superb in one particular area, which is, it's like, it's the area where you go to two brothers who create your weapons and stuff. I can't remember the exact place. It's like a junkyard. There's a song that plays throughout that area, and it's unreal. Just another great soundtrack. They seem to nail the music for that whole series. But I think it's really great. I think if you've played Automata, you're going to think it's really great as well. As you said, the hype for it is... It's weird.
Yeah,
because
it's strange.
I think people are just... We're getting into territory of games, and Resi's around the corner. What's that other one? Returnal is coming as well.
Yeah.
Like, they're all coming out, these big heavy hitters, and people have been wanting brand new PS5 and Xbox games and stuff like that.
And so, this isn't one of those. This is not a PS5 game. This is a PS4 game you can play on your PS5. Yeah.
But I do think it's definitely worth your time if anyone is interested.
Yeah, no, I'm going to carry on. I've been sidetracked with other games, which, you know, we'll talk about here. But, like, I do very much want to go back to it because it's near.
I can't wait.
And they kind of made a fan of me with Automata. They did.
Yeah.
Adam, anything else you've been up to?
Hey. I have been playing a game called Rain on Your Parade.
You have.
Which is Completely different to Nier. Rain on Your Parade. I saw this. I don't know where I came across exactly, but
wasn't it on Nintendo thing, like the direct?
I don't remember it being on a direct. I don't know where I saw. Maybe I just saw an upcoming Switch game, some video like that. Anyway, but this is done by a developer called Unbound Creations. I don't know any of their other titles, and this is a game about. And it's very simple. You are just a cloud that is pissed off and you rain on people and ruin their lives.
Sounds great.
So, like, these kind of games come around every now and then, like Untitled Goose Game. This one in particular, Rain, is being compared to, like, Donut County and stuff like that. Right. Now, I haven't played that, and I don't really know anything about it, but it's being compared to that. And, like, I don't know why I'd end up, like... I'm not really one for going for these kind of games, but this just looked really funny. And you start off, like, there's a little story in it and everything. It starts off with, like, this like grandfather telling a story to his little grandchild about a cloud. And you are that cloud. And within the game, you get to draw your own facial expressions. And it's pretty hard to draw a really good one, but you can do some hilarious things, and you can wear like top hats and stuff. And as you progress throughout the game, you unlock more little like hats and things like that. But what's so good about the game is the actual gameplay loop is really, really entertaining, and it really stays fresh throughout. Like, there's like 55 levels, I think. And it starts off very basic. You just you cruise around the town, and it gives you like objectives, like to rain on all the humans or destroy these kind of environments and things like that. And you just move the cloud. You press A. You have a meter of water, and you can refill that up if you find the like, thing in the area. And you just do these little tests. But as it goes on, it starts like putting a bit more of a challenge in it. You get more abilities like thunder and like tornadoes and things like that. And it really has a lot of nods to other games, like other classic games. And you actually, like, I don't want to spoil anything. I sent one to you, Adam.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, what? They're actually going for this as well. And there's a lot of movie references and stuff. And It's just a whole lot of fun, and it's quite cheap on Switch. I think it's only like 11 quid or something, but it's just really entertaining, and I think like the story is very charming. Like, there's one moment in this where this you meet this like little bug, and there's like this little like kind of bit of dialogue where he goes, "Hey, I'm just a bug, and listen, if you ever come across any other bugs, let the developer know." And, you know, that's just my only purpose here. And it's kind of that humor. And I think, like, to make these kinds of games, you know, you can either play it for a few minutes and be like, I get it. Ah, it's pretty funny. I leave it off and that's that. I think this is really worth a lot of people's time. And I got, like, I laughed out loud through a good few parts in it. There's not much else to say in the gameplay.
No, that's fair enough.
You know, but it's quite an entertaining little game, and I think, like, you know, there's a photo mode in it that's very easy. You just press like I think like ZL or something, and it just instantly starts, and it's just funny to look at the photo and seeing all the humans running around, and you can actually get like throughout the levels you can change from water to like oil or acid and things like that.
Blimey.
And you can pour a load of like streams of oil everywhere, and then there'll be like fire ignited, and the trail of fire goes on, it blows up cars, and everyone's running around screaming. And if you draw your actual face to be like a maniac or super happy, it just looks so funny. This is a really, really fun game, and I think it's definitely worth people's time. And if they incorporated maybe some sort of multiplayer aspect into it, it would be great. And the only other thing I'd say as well is the objective lists. It pops up at the very beginning of each level what to do.
Yeah.
But once you're in the level, it just shows like little boxes at the side. And I don't know what I've forgotten what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's there's no way, like, even if I pause that, I wish they'd show me what I'd left to do. I'm kind of going, what does that picture mean again? So that's the only thing. But look, it's a cheap little game. It's a fun little indie game. And there's good fun to be heading it. So I give it a shot.
In the live chat, Alex Struthers-Smith says, really enjoyed Rain on Your Parade. Didn't expect that much from it, as much from it.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds about, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, the obviously the footage that you were playing there, like you say, with the little top hat and stuff, it does look quite it looks stupid, but it looks funny. Like, it just looks like just chaos and
like the very humorous. Like the very first level, I think, is a wedding. And it just says destroy the wedding. And like they're all like everyone's sitting there and the bride and groom at the top and you just come in the club and you're just like piss rain on top of them. They're all running around cheers because it's ragdoll mode as well. So it's just like it's just good banter, do you know?
I tell you what, I think I've got an Xbox code for that we can give away. What we'll do is when this goes live to everyone permanently on Monday, if you're listening Monday, our Patreon, we're long overdue a code drop, so I think it's an Xbox code. We'll do that. I think, don't quote me if it's not, there's going to be plenty of codes, but I'm almost sure that's one of them. So that would be that's, you know, a good reason to go to patreon.com/godasageek because there'll be loads of codes dropped next week or this week if you're watching it when it goes live, properly live.
live.
Shall we talk about some Returnal?
Go on then.
What do you want to know? Because I can only talk about it in a preview sense.
Can you tell me what it's about? In a preview, the gameplay. Tell me the story spoilers in a preview sense.
Right.
Sorry, yeah.
So, I've been thinking about this.
Because I think I know what it is, but I want to know if I'm right.
I thought I knew, and I was half right. So the thing is, and again, this it's not me going like, oh, I can't talk about that. I haven't finished it. I've actually not played as much as I'm allowed to talk about, if that makes sense. Like, there's more I could talk about. Yeah. I haven't got there yet. Because like most of Housemarque's games, it's a tricky one. Not like brutal, but hard, you know, challenging. I don't want to overhype it. I don't want to get people like too excited about what this game is or isn't. But I was trying to think of the kind of almost like the shorthand way of comparing it. And I think I hit upon it talking to Adam earlier. So I think it's... I won't say the first game name because people will get angry. So it's a Housemarque game. So it is, you know, it's your Resoguns, it's your shooter. Mm-hmm. By way of Dark Souls and Metroid. I haven't finished with the kind of, again, and this is only based on the first biome or level, kind of the atmosphere of the Alien and Aliens films. And I know they're different atmospheres, but that vibe. Let's put up on screen for people.
Adam.
So the first thing I noticed is like, I think I forgot that this was only PS5. Like, I think in my head. Mm. Oh, it'd be on PS4 as well. It's not, it's PS5. And I think in my head, I'd forgotten that. Because when the haptics started, and this is the best use I've experienced of the haptic feedback. Like, it is ridiculous. Like, the cutscenes and stuff, like, at the start, I think they've shown it in trailers where, like, the ship crashes, how you end up on this, I think it's called Atropos. And as you crash, like, the left side of the controller vibrates because the left side of the ship hits first and the intensity shifts as you, and like, so you get alt fires and there's like a massive kind of a swing, like Adam said, like of that when it's recharged, and it's like it's in your hand, like, oh, you can, and that's important because it's usually very powerful, but it actually makes for a game experience that I've kind of never had, because you have to play slightly differently. So you're used to left trigger, hold down your sights, right, you know, shoot with your right. And it is that, but hold the left trigger down all the way is for your alt fire. So if you've used your alt fire and are still trying to hold it down all the way, it's no ammo. So you have to get used to, it's a really good almost tutorial for getting used to halfway down as your aim down sights, all the way down for your... And stuff
is
that, like that.
And is there built-in resistance to help you with that, though?
Yes, but like, it's too early for me to say whether it's a criticism, but I actually wonder if they might need to dial that up a little.
Mm.
But also, I think they want you to not aim down sights because of the sheer speed at which stuff's happening.
Right.
people are looking at the video version, they're seeing the bullets being fired at you. If you're aiming down sights, you're not as mobile, you can't dash as easily. I think they want you to, like, there's a mod you can get for a weapon that adds like homing missiles to it, and I think they want to. I think they want you to just be shooting with your right trigger and not worrying too much about aiming, because the enemies aren't like tiny so far. But what the Dark Souls bit comes into, obviously, because it made me realise that Dark Souls is a roguelike, kind of, but not like a traditional roguelike, in that, you know, you die, restart, that part of it. It made me realise that Dark Souls has more in common with that genre than I think I ever really, you know, really... Oh, it's also got active reload, by the way, this game, which is another thing I totally forgot about in amongst the hundreds of mechanics in there. Again, in a preview sense, it takes a lot of getting used to. It's both not like anything I've played, and also like a lot of things I've played, but in a different way. Not mashed up. The visuals are, by the way, there'll be a lot made of this game because it's £70. Okay, there's a lot of things going to be said about it because it's £70, and I'm not going to stand here and go, when you see it, no one's ever going to be on this podcast going, £70's fine for a game, you know. No one's ever going to say that, but I at least feel like I understand it, because if this is the kind of game that we used to talk about as kind of like a double A, not a triple A, when Naughty Dog and the likes of the people who blew us away, like the God of Wars, get their hands on this, well, like, you know, look, when you think about it, this is the first, I believe, the first next generation game, isn't it? Like,
Demon's Souls,
yes, but that was a remake.
Oh, new,
yeah. Brand new design, brand new, exclusively, yes, for next generation consoles.
Brand new, yes.
Do you think that the getting used to is because of the haptic kind of stuff? Because, like, I'll be honest, I don't know what game I was playing recently on the PS5, only a few days ago, I can't remember now. But I remember that kicked in, and I was like, oh shit, this, yeah. And I'm still, even as a PS5 owner since pretty much day one,
yes,
I haven't had enough experience to get used to that.
So that's again because of the lack of
PS5
titles and stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to know as well, like when I see this game, I'm like, I know where you're saying Dark Souls and things like that, Metroid. Yeah. I'm getting a, like, the pacing of it, like, I'm getting a bang of, like, Doom and Vanquish.
Yeah, you see,
Chris said that to me. I don't think it's quite as quick as that. It is quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only be honest, I've played this game, and I don't... That's not one of the comparisons that struck me. Okay. Now someone said it, I can see it. But it's just not one that, I mean, you know, wasn't like an instant... I totally get it. There's just it does things that I've kind of always wanted Dark Souls to do, or someone to make a Dark Souls game where, like, look, it's all a bit kind of, you got to work out that via the lore, via the universe, but it also has a map, like, you know, you can see the map in the bottom right corner there, and like, there's different kinds of doors, and one of them it tells you in tutorials, or I think I'm not even sure if it's tutorials, but one of them it will tell you, like, these are the doors that are kind of going to push forward, and these are the doors that are kind of side stuff things. But I like that because it gives it's a roguelike, like the world's not, I don't think it's fully procedural. I think it's kind of like they've got building bricks that are rearranged. There's sure. a bit they've shown in the trailer where she says it's like the world is rearranging itself, and I think that is kind of more of, rather than it being a complete like spelunky, it feels like it's X amount of points. Again, I only actually got to the first boss, and I got there with so little health. Do you know when you first face like a boss in a Souls-like game, and when you actually finish it, you realize it actually wasn't that hard, but you were so kind of overawed by it, and like you did yourself in. You kind of were scared of it because of what it was. When you couldn't,
you end up
it
overthinking
down.
It, don't
absolutely
you?
That, yeah. This first boss, actually, now I think about how I died, I was like, wow, that was stupid, and I could have taken him probably without taking a hit if I was careful. I am very, very, very excited to play more of it. It's one of those that makes you think about, oh yeah, we have got new consoles, because this does not feel, you know, when you first played Astro's Playroom and like the controls and everything, and you're like, it's that. But it actually meant there was quite a steep learning curve for me, because I played shooters for 40 years, but I've never played shooters where I have to think about anything more than pull the trigger, shoot, and aim. Yeah. This now requires a little bit more than that.
It's quite interesting because I remember, like, when the PS4 came out, I spent so much time playing Resogun.
Yes.
And that was one of, like, I think the early games that came out, if not probably day one. I don't know. Don't quote me on that, but it was very early on the release of the PS4. And I remember being blown away by its visuals. And, like, honestly, this game looks like the cat's pajamas. Like, it looks so good. Yeah. So good. And, like, that science fiction kind of thing. And I've just come off the back of watching all the Alien movies. I am so up for this. Look,
yeah, I mean, we've got a couple of comments in the YouTube chat here. Raven Knight says, if only the PS5 had a drive big enough for me to install another game on. I deleted a few off there that I was like, I'm just not going to go back to these, I must admit. Black Democrat
says... Is it 50 gig?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or not, but...
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's a next generation game. I'll give you that one.
It's a big game. Okay. Yeah.
Black Democrat says the game reminds me of Control, which is basically me saying that it will be a great game that's not for everyone. Again, I'm not being like in a preview sense in the jokey way we would normally be. I have literally not finished the first level. That's not a bad shout because I always think... I remember saying this with Demon's Souls. Like, I feel like people will be like, oh, I've just bought a PS5. I've got to buy Demon's Souls. It's the brand. It's like you just said, Chris. It's the only exclusive. And then I can just imagine them sitting there like, what the hell is this? You know, it's not a mainstream video game. You can you can dress that up as this beautiful, because it was gorgeous, game with amazing tight controls as much as you want. The Souls games are not mainstream. And I think, Adam, I don't know if you'd agree with this, Housemarque generally, Resogun, Matterfall... They aren't generally mainstream. There will be an audience for this that moans about it being too hard. There will be an audience that moans it's too... Not basic is the wrong word, but they will be a younger audience who are like, this is a weird. Like, there's no RPG mechanics or something. You know, they will be expecting it to not be an arcade game like Housemarque are known for. I will say it's really cool to see them doing something... Because I was worried, because I like that studio, but I was worried seeing this when because they haven't shown a lot of it, but seeing it, I was sort of worried looking at going, yeah, there's that atmosphere. Is it going to be too much atmosphere, not enough gameplay? Because the one thing they do is gameplay, and yeah, I mean, it controls so far wonderfully, and there's definitely elements here that are designed where you get skills or powers or something that you can kind of come back through the levels with, I think. I don't think once credits roll, that's it. And it has got mechanics for like, I'm trying to think about it. Like, you know, when you find a player in a Souls world and you can see their...
Death,
it's got that sort of stuff. So it has got a connected world. There just seems a lot here. And I'm not, I can't sit here and go, oh, on this basis, 70 quid's a steal. Because I'm never going to be the guy that's like, 70 quid's nothing. 70 quid's a lot. 70 quid's a lot of money. Yeah.
But you enjoyed it, and it wasn't...
I am enjoying what I've played, and like, I'm not being funny, if you were lucky enough to get a PS5, in my head, you've not had a brand new PlayStation 5 exclusive this year, have you?
Nope.
So there's that. More on that soon, I will say. We'll have more on that soon. I think Mick is working on a video to show off some of the early levels. There's a preview on godisageek.com right now. You can go and read. Other than that, all I've really had to go on this week is More Satisfactory and another game, Chris Hyde, that, well, over to you.
It feels sad given how long we spend on Satisfactory that we have to go and we've played more of it. But anyway, we won't bore people on that. Yes, so fine. Last week, I made a commitment that I would actually start, finally, after weeks of badgering from Mr. Cook, I'd finally start Outriders, and I have. Last weekend, we created a character, and I actually chose a Technomancer, which was quite interesting when me, you, and Mick started playing, because I suddenly realized everyone else wanted to be this Technomancer character, because they hadn't tried it. And then Adam looked up the skills before I'd even really figured out what I was doing, and you suddenly got a pang of guilt, not pang of guilt, sorry, pang of envy around all the skills that I was having. But the thing about Outriders for me, what I was expecting was Destiny. And it is a bit like Destiny in terms of, you know, solid shooter, loot, co-op, that kind of stuff. And then when we were, slight segue, me and Adam have been playing a little bit of Diablo 3 on Switch a couple of weeks ago. So shout out to that. That's a great, great little game. And we were talking about the loot in that game and reminding ourselves about how good that was. And then you were, as part of your argument to get me to try it, where I was like, seriously, the loot in Outriders is, you know, it, you know, Diablo, it's the best loot since Diablo 3. I was like, okay, calm down. It's probably not that good. I'm going to go so far and say it's better.
Jesus Christ.
No, now I agreed. Tasty. Yeah, indeed. And I'll say why I think that, and then everyone can tell me I'm wrong, but I'll bring the hot takes. But so Diablo 3, for, you know, the loot, the reason why the loot in Diablo 3 is so good is because there's so much of it, but also there's so many different, I guess, kind of attributes and things going on that you can really start customizing your loadout. And when you combine that with the skills that you can pick, you literally can, someone that's the same type of character can literally have a completely different loadout, play their way, right? So you're not kind of constrained to, you know, oh, I chose warrior or something at the start. I've got to play a specific way. If you pick the right equipment and pick the right skills, you could play completely differently to someone else, which is great. But what does happen with Diablo 3 is you'll pick up some better loot, and then, you know, more often than not, you're having to make choices between, oh, but I really like that extra perk I get with that piece of armor, but it's weaker than the piece of armor I've just picked up. So what do I want to do here? Do I want to have better defense, or do I want that thing that gives me, you know, health on kill or something in Diablo? So you're having to make choices. And the thing with Outriders, and you were selling this to me, Adam, but I didn't really understand it until we got to a certain point in the game where you can kind of, like, there's a part in the mods bit where literally you can want the you haven't played Outriders, Adam, Carol.
No, not yet.
That's a shame. You really should play Outriders.
All right, okay. Yeah, I haven't installed. Good to go.
If only it was on Game Pass. So the loot in Outriders is pretty much like what I've just described in Diablo 3, until you get to a certain point where actually you can, each piece of equipment has like a mod, which is like a perk, right? It's an extra thing it does. So a gun does damage, but it also might do this extra thing. So some of them might give you extra health as you kill. Some of them might do, I had this gun that did like a lightning bolt every time it shot someone, there's extra damage and stuff like that. There's various others, you know, increase the potency of your cooldown skills, right? So certain loads of different mods. And what you can do is you get to a certain point where you can literally almost, when you dismantle a weapon you don't want to use anymore, you kind of secure that mod in your collection, so you never lose it. So you can get to if you find a mod that you really like, but then you get a better gun, right? You can choose to dismantle the weaker gun that's got the mod you like, and then put that mod on the better gun. So you never have to feel like, oh, I really liked that buff, but now I've got to sacrifice it because the enemies are getting too tough because I'm leveling up and I've got to say goodbye. So literally, I haven't got to. Whereas in Diablo 3, you are sometimes faced with the decision, I've got to change it because I'm just going to get, yeah, I kind of have to. And that's what I mean when I say I think it does it better, because I think you literally can say, well, how do I want to play this? What do I find I'm enjoying the most? And you can still, and you never lose anything. So you could acquire all the mods and then still chop and change and try different things. You know, so still, you're not locked into anything, but it does mean that you can literally, you can find the loot kind of loadout that's perfect for you, and nothing's ever lost. You're never forced into a decision. And I just thought that was really clever, and it's quite a simple tweak, but I just thought it was really good. That aside, the shooting in Outriders is really tight. I wasn't expecting, I have to say, I was expecting just like shooting like normal grunt enemies and then big big burly men with big guns as bosses. And it's got surprise. I won't go into any more than that, but there are other surprises in this game, having played a few more hours with Adam, that I wasn't expecting. I like the other thing that I like is that it's quite short. The missions that you do, they don't drag. I feel like it's bish, bash, bosh, and then you go and do another one. You can do as much side missions as you want or don't want, or you can move on with the story. It just feels very well put together. We did have a couple of issues, I think, connectivity issues, but never. Yeah, crossplay. Yeah, but I have to say, I do hate saying this because I don't like saying that you're right, but it's a good game. It's not. I do think I will say it's probably one of those things that I won't play on my own. I get a lot of enjoyment from the co-op nature that we have. So Adam's a different class to me, so he has different abilities, and we obviously work together to take down enemies, and I prefer that. What's that? Sorry. Yeah. So I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that as a negative at all. I meant more that I really enjoy. Yeah. Maybe I should phrase it differently. I really enjoy playing it with other people, and I want to play more of it. What I thought was interesting is, like I said, when I was selecting the Technomancer, it seemed to be you and Mick were having a conversation about it. So we'll go online and we'll play as a trio to get me started on it. And we were talking about, well, what class are we going to be? Oh, well, Chris is this. Chris has started a character with this, so I'll be this. And you've got a Pyromancer, and you actually chose the Devastator class, didn't you, for this, which is more of like a goes in and just starts wrecking the shit at close range, whereas your Pyromancer is obviously fire. And I think we've mentioned the other one, which is the Trickster before, which is like the kind of like thief character, if you like. And I remember everyone basically going, you and Mick were both going, oh, Pyro sounds a bit naff. I'm really jealous. But then we've been playing recently, and almost every mission, I don't know if you've noticed, you've gone, oh, you know, I really wish I was the Pyro for this bit.
Yeah.
And I just think, not to poke fun at you, but I think that it's a really, I don't think there's a bad class in this from what I've played. Now, maybe there is, I've only played one class, but it's interesting that you've said, I want to do Devastator, I don't want to do Pyro. And then there's been so many missions where you're like, I really wish I was the Pyro for this bit because I know what's coming. Mm. And I certainly don't feel with my choice that I've got the better class than you. I feel like there's a way you're not locked into being a certain character. Like, I guess, like I said with Diablo, like my character is supposed to be a sniper. Like, it's literally supposed to be long range attacks and shooting from distance. I can do that, or I can equip a shotgun and go and wreck up the shit really close if I want to, and I've got some abilities that would support me doing that if I wanted to, but I've also got ones to stay back. So again, depending on the situation or depending on how you want to play, I don't think, from what I've seen, there's a terrible class, but you know, there are certain benefits to playing certain ways with certain classes. But no, I have to say, I know we've obviously spoken about it on previous pods, and I'm always last to the party with this. Well, ahead of Adam Carroll, I suppose, but it's a very good game, very good fun cooperatively when you can get two or three of you together.
Yeah.
Very, very good fun. And I will be playing more of it. A nice change of pace from
Factory.
Something like Satisfactory or Monster Hunter or something like that. So, really enjoyed it and would recommend it if you've not given it a go yet.
Radical Wheeler says definitely fun co-op, and Say Peace says Adam, you're muted because I spent most of that discussion talking to you. You guys could hear me, but the audience couldn't. So,
Adam was just basically agreeing with me for the entire session.
I mean, let's just say this much: if you were there for this chat and heard most of what Chris said, and it doesn't appear in the audio version, now you know why. Because, let's do some listener correspondence. If you're live in the chat and want to ask a question, feel free to do so. Not so much a question, but Mr. Democrat says, I hope Biomutant doesn't become a sleeper hit. Not so much a question as a statement. There was a new trailer released for that today. I'm really hopeful for that game. I think that game looks right up my street. They just have to nail the combat, and I think it will be, you know, a cool game. I don't know if you guys have paid much attention to that game.
No, I think I should. I know that you're very up for it.
It just looks right,
Yeah, it's one of those ones that I probably feel like I should be paying more attention to than I am. Mm-hmm. But I know that you're really up for it, so I probably should be looking more in its direction. I would say I do feel like I could probably say the same about quite a few games, apart from, say, like Resident Evil Village, which is, I feel like, is everywhere in terms of how much being hyped. It's a bit like what we said about like Nier, I suppose. There's feels like there's been a lot of games this year that.
Well, Capcom like, has been, it's been a year of Capcom, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, yeah. If it's not been Monster Hunter or Resident Evil, it's kind of, I feel like it. There is quite going to be quite a few either very good or decent games that have just, sadly, I think, not going to get as much attention as they deserve. You know, we said it takes two. Nier feels like it's going to be a fun game. I hope Biomutant, if it is a good game, isn't another one of them.
Here's hoping. Here's a question we didn't get to last week. It came in after we'd finished recording. From Deadbeat, Waxed His Back, Crack and Shack. He says, hello, fine people of the pod. I recently sampled BrewDog's new stout named Layer Cake, which promised to be a chocolate and marshmallow porter. Now, I love stout, I love chocolate, and I absolutely love marshmallows. But this was akin to a pint of... Sorry, I read ahead there. But this was akin... to a pint of coffee essence mixed with sugar and piss. Are there any drinks or snacks that sound delightful from the description but desperately failed to live up to your expectations?
The first point is you have to say, you know, does he know what coffee essence, sugar and piss taste like? But, well, you know, as a comparison. But the first thing that came to my head with this is every single fruit tea ever made that always smells really nice but tastes like watered down shite.
I always feel tea, like green tea smells like fish food.
Green tea tastes better than it smells.
Green tea tastes.
I like green tea taste, but I get the smell. You're on about fish food.
Fish food, not Ben and Jerry's. Actual fish food.
Deadbeat Punk, by the way, has literally just clarified that he knows what coffee essence, sugar, and
oh, did he?
Like, yeah, he's just on the
Okay, yeah, so yeah, I see that. Yeah.
So that was the first one that came to me, because I always feel really disappointed when like I smell that or like you know those flavored coffees you can sometimes get.
Yeah.
Most of them they smell really nice, and then you go to drink it and you're like, the coffee tastes crap and the flavor has just gone. So I always get disappointed with those.
Do you know what came to mind there for me straight away? Was I honestly think marshmallows are a pile of piss as well.
Oh, you piss off! Like as if
marshmallows
you've got
are an, sickening.
You have
They're
not
sickening.
Got any authority.
They make
on
me
food.
Sick. Like, if how many marshmallows can you actually eat? How many marshmallows can you eat? Personally, if you sat down with a big bowl of those fat ones, how many of them are you shoving into your gob? Because I tell you what, you can't fit more than six because you're just going to be sick as a dog after them. They also gave me the shits one time, I'm sure.
And there
so
it is.
To be clear, is it because That's you're it. Eating marshmallows by the kilo? Because you're doing it wrong if you are.
Ah, well, I don't eat them anymore, no, obviously. But like,
well, no, not no, after they gave you threat. The splathers.
Marshmallows... in a hot
good
chocolate.
Lucky Charms.
Oh Jesus! If that's your benchmark, then I think that says everything.
But like the marshmallow Lucky Charms, top drawer.
That's
top
just
of hot
like,
chocolate with
there are people screaming
like
stereotype at you right now, mate. Yeah. That is outrageous thing to bring up. I don't know, man.
Can you eat a load of marshmallows?
Why are we talking about marshmallows? I'm not anti.
Because that's what just came into my mind when he brought it up. So that's what I'm thinking
okay,
of right
yeah,
now.
No,
that,
fair,
that's
fair.
A snack that I look at and I go, sounds good, and then I eat and I go, bit
to be honest, I don't eat. I don't. I wouldn't buy marshmallows as like a bag of sweets because like you get like a bag of Haribo marshmallows. I wouldn't do that. But that's not because I don't like them. But you're right. I'd buy them to like put in a hot chocolate or something on the top. That's when I'd have marshmallows, or I'd have like a couple. But I'd never go. Oh my god, these are disgusting. It's because they're sweet.
Like, do you know what's the biggest joke of all time as well? The prick who made the whole idea of putting a marshmallow into the fire with the stick, that s'more business.
No, they're good. No, that's sorry.
It's just shit. It's crap.
Is it because you don't understand fire?
Like, they're supposed to be completely black when you eat them, right?
yeah.
Charred.
Crunch.
Like, melted into the fire and he's like, where's it gone?
Oh, it's mank. It's just manky.
No, they're toasted. What is it? Toasted marshmallows? They're good. Caramelized slightly, they are banging. Yeah.
I suppose I have to give one, do I? I don't. If Chris was outraged at Adam's marshmallow choice, I'm slightly worried. It's not hugely exciting. The thing I always think, lovely, lovely, I really would enjoy that. But every time I drink it, I don't. is wine. I feel I'm of an age where I should like a glass of Chardonnay or something. I just don't like wine. I can drink, there's one, like an Asti. I can drink Asti. I quite like an Asti, which yeah. is like just...
Asti sounds like a porn star.
Yeah, well, it might be after a few of them.
Asti's like a little, like Asti, a cheap sparkling. I have Asti at Christmas,
oh,
mate.
Oh, here we go.
It's no, I literally just said I have it on Christmas Day. So I'm not. Like, I think it's cheaper than like Prosecco or something, isn't it, Asti? I think it is.
Don't mind Prosecco, actually, for the record.
I'm a big fan of wine.
I can't stand white wine.
Yeah, it's
pissed. A good Rioja or a Malbec, I'm all over that. But
I'm a Shiraz man.
Yeah, I'm an oak matured man. I like me.
Oak matured. Yeah. Oak matured for me, please.
Yeah, oak matured Rioja, please.
But yeah, wine would be. I just.
Not your bag.
I feel I should. Drink responsibly when it comes to wine, but I like it with a white wine. Like, it's like the second it gets even slightly away from incredibly chilled, I'm like, nah, don't like it anymore. Like, I'll sit there and start drinking, but oh, this is nice. But then you put it down off a bit, oh, it's not freezing. Like, piss.
You know? Do you ever try the bag of wine that they don't do it anymore? The bag of wine that Tesco used to have.
The fact that you said bag of wine means I haven't tried it.
Yeah, oh,
I think
Jesus.
That was pretty clear. Yeah.
I'd rather suck a tire. It's desperate.
There's a lot of questions coming through.
Yeah, Raven Knight says, as a Monster Hunter beginner, which is easier to get into, World or Rise? I tried World once, but seemed like too much to learn.
Okay.
I think Rise. I think
Rise. Rise is easier both in terms of difficulty and also there are slightly fewer mechanics as well to understand. So I would say Rise... is easier to get into. I mean, it's not like there's, you know, it's not like a baby's first version of the world. There's still a lot of mechanics in it. So I guess it depends how much you were overwhelmed by what was in World, but Rise is easier to get into, definitely.
Adam, do you concur?
I wouldn't really be saying, oh, you didn't get into World, jump straight into Rise, there you'd be sorted. I still think it's quite daunting.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if it was like the whole idea of there's too much going on here, I don't think Rise sorts that for you. Definitely not.
Like, when I got into World, I was like, oh, I took a bit, but then I got there eventually. I was fine. Like, getting into Rise, I think my biggest problem was getting on board with the wirebug.
I find that quite fun, though, to be fair.
I think the thing with Rise, I think I cracked the wirebug by not actually going on a hunt, just by going on a random expedition and just trying it out.
Then
it's not a problem.
Yeah.
So I think Rise is unanimous then. Black Democrat says, what is the opinion from you when it comes to Atomic Hearts? I truly hope that game gets released soon because it has a very interesting Bioshock sci-fi and horror theme going for it. I have to confess, I don't know too much about that one, but I'm afraid it's going to be a boring answer. Kind of the same thing he said or she said there. It's an open world action RPG and it looks... It's kind of got a cool idea behind it, but I don't really know. And I don't think the developer's done anything else. Mundfish, I want to say they're called. I hate to say that. I can't add an awful lot to this. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
No, I'm the same.
No, I can't, unfortunately.
Sadly,
sorry
about that.
Oh, well.
Sounds good, though.
Jesus.
Sapi
says, as a keen Overwatch player, worried about the departure of Jeff Kaplan and the future of Overwatch 2 being more of an adventure game than the original. You got any thoughts on Overwatch 2? I mean, isn't the plan to kind of make Overwatch 1 original redundant by incorporating that into 2? That's what I always heard the plan was, is that they're going to add all this PvE stuff, but they're also going with the solo stuff, but they're also going to change up the art style and bring kind of 1 into 2.
I didn't think it was like supposed to be two separate entities, was it? It was supposed to be like you say, like almost like an amalgamation, like add extra stuff, like you say, to make it. I guess the question is more talking about whether it's going to be just become an adventure game. It will be more than the original, from what I understand. Not my area of expertise. I know you know more about this than I do, Adam. But yeah, I always
curious
thought it was
where
it was
that game
on
is, like what state, because like usually. And this is a very big generalization, but usually when like the director leaves a project, either it's done and like, his work is done, he can move on, it's just polish and, you know, or it's in trouble and he wants to get out of Dodge, or he's the reason it's in trouble. But with Kaplan, I'm not sure that is the case, because the guy's been there just shy of 20 years. You know, he was involved with your like World of Warcraft, and you know, like I think he was supposedly on the Project Titan that they never released. So I don't know. I mean, they are. I'm not going to say toxic. The community, well, maybe I should. The community behind Overwatch, there's obviously some really good stuff there, but like it's not. It's not going to be something you'll be enjoying being the face of for very, very many years. And what did that come out in 2016? So we're 5 years from that game.
Jesus, did that long?
I think so, yeah. And wow. That's going to be quite draining, I would imagine, ultimately, on a person, because he hasn't said what he's doing. I'd imagine he's having a break. Unless he jumps straight. I don't know. Maybe he's been going to jump. I don't know. Overwatch 2, I will absolutely be there day one. But I don't hear as much about Overwatch these days. You know, like it doesn't. It's definitely still big, but I don't feel like it's as big as it once was. But then 2016, you know, there's not many games have that good to stay in power, let alone still be. You know, they're still doing it. And they still do the timed events. But even the timed events seem to now be like recycling ones. Like the Halloween one was, you know, similar to the last Halloween one. And I don't know. I'll be there for Overwatch 2. I'm very curious as to. I didn't actually watch the BlizzCon stuff on it, but they seem to be, you know, fine in development, and I don't know. It just Blizzard are a funny company. Like Diablo 4 is coming, but we've no idea when. Like, you know, they announce these games and then they just they are a company that announced too early, but then they also go so quiet for so long and they kind of have to announce something, otherwise people are like, well, what are you doing?
It's like Metroid Prime 4. I think I read somewhere the other day that Nintendo hasn't mentioned that game for 2 years.
I believe it.
Because every direct they're like, oh, it's going to be something called Metroid Prime 4, and it never is. And so yeah, they haven't mentioned it for 2 years.
Thomas K says, the downside to the video cast with Adam Carroll is that I can no longer imagine Father Dougal Maguire is talking to me about games and food.
Shit. Oh, I'm gonna have to close my eyes and just imagine it. It's great.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, there you go. It's not a question, but I just wanted to read it.
But it needs saying. Yeah.
Other than that, that's pretty much a podcast for this week. Thanks for being here with us. Apologies that I managed to mute myself. It was because I was actually typing. Believe it or not, I muted myself so that my keyboard wouldn't be audible when I told the chat that we're going to do the question section and they could send questions. So I was doing it in service of the chat, and then I forgot to unmute myself because I was listening to you so intently, Christopher.
It's a real, authentic live podcast. That's the thing. Yeah. You get that sometimes. Yeah,
there is no fourth person. Like, it is literally me, like, pressing buttons. Like, there's, you know, it is literally just that. That is what, you know. It's me doing it. So sometimes that does happen live. Apologies for that. Luckily, I think you were talking and I was just like going, apart from a few bits. But yeah, we'll be back next week. Same sort of time, same sort of place. We'll be back on Monday as well, hopefully, for some more Mario Mondays where we're going to finish up, right? We're going to finish up.
Finish. Are we actually going to?
I think so.
I don't know.
I think so. Everyone else, you can find us on Twitter at God is a Geek, on Facebook. Just search for the website name. Go to godisageek.com. Read some gaming news, read some guides on Monster Hunter. We had a question about Monster Hunter Rise. I think we got one of the best Monster Hunter Rise guides anywhere. Do also have a quick look on patreon.com/godisageek, where you get early access to all sorts of stuff. And as I say, be dropping some codes next week, Monday or Tuesday, probably Tuesday, I think. Chris, Adam, thank you for being here. Really appreciate it. And everybody else, we'll see you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye bye for now.